No, the answer to the question I'm getting ready to ask you might be very simple and even common sense, but one of the things that we really try and teach our members is how to add value in a relationship and try and be a net giver than a net
Yes.
taker. What does help look like if you know, Scott makes the introduction to me and we have that first call and I'm looking to add value to this relationship and not just be a net taker? What does that look like from your perspective? What does help look like?
Sure. And I'll address this in another context later, but first of all, engage when it makes sense to engage. You know, raise your hand when that recruiter really has an opportunity that makes sense for you. When you're, you know, as a recruiter, I'm interested in meeting new talent and we're interested in engaging with new clients. So the two most critical things you could do to help a recruiter is refer good talent, not just a friend who needs it, but a friend who's a top player. And if, you know, if you can steer business towards that recruiter, that is always going to be appreciated.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of caveated my question with this may sound like really common sense, but again, it's about being empathetic and putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Well, what is the nature of the recruiter's business? It's having clients and it's having talent, access
Right.
to talent. And you know, we all have networks, we all know who's kind of our A-list in our network. And you know, I would say to you, and then we've had this conversation, you know, Dave, what are some, you know, very important searches that you're working on right now? What's some of the talent look like? Because if there's somebody in my network, I'd love to introduce them to you. Everybody wins in that.
Yeah.
Everybody wins in that. And it's fairly simple, but you have to be intentional about doing it because that's the nature of relationships. You know, otherwise they just become transactional and you haven't really added value. You've sort of made a little chip shot, but you haven't really done, you know, a lot to add value to the relationship versus, oh my gosh, I know that we're looking, I think we're interviewing for executive search firms right now. We've been struggling with this position. I'd like to recommend that we work with you. Or, hey, based on what you're telling me, like my former boss would be a great fit for that role. Let
Yes.
me get you guys introduced.
Yep. Hey, I'll share one quick story with you. When I was at
Please.
P&G in 1991, I got a call from a recruiter on the West Coast. His name is Vito Biala. He had a very robust practice, did a lot of work in Silicon Valley. I think he's retired now, but he called and he pitched me on a role. I think it was director of advertising at Sprint. And I asked him a lot of questions and to better understand the role and who he's looking for. And after about 10 minutes, he said, "Well, you sound like you're interested." I said, "You know, this would not be for me, but I've got a recommendation for you." And I suggested a guy named Tim Kelly, who was an account executive at DMB&B, who I thought would be great in the role. Long and short of it is, Tim ended up in that role and ultimately became CMO at Sprint. And needless to say, Vito called me many times after that for ideas on other searches, and ultimately asked me if I wanted to get into the business. So that can be really, really helpful. Just if it's not for you, that's fine. Understand who it might be for. And if you've got somebody in mind who you feel good about, that recommendation is powerful.
So let's kind of go down that same road. Now, I am engaged with a recruiter, and it's a role I'm actually interested in. Like, how do I work best with you? And maybe do's and don'ts, or you know, kind of best practices and maybe not best practices.
Sure. Like I said, it starts with raising your hand when the role makes sense. We get a lot of people who will raise their hand for everything. And I hate being the guy that says, "Look, this just isn't a fit." But if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. So make sure it's something you're generally interested in. And be clear about those factors I mentioned a few minutes ago. Understand the location, title, compensation. You know, those are the three things that can derail a search in the end. By the way, on the location front, you would ask kind of what's happening in the market right now. We're seeing more and more senior level hiring as an in-office 5 days a week hire. Doesn't mean that there aren't still quite a bit of hybrid and commuting situations out there, but more and more CEOs are expecting people to be in the office, and it's just a really interesting tug of war to watch. So, when you first engage, you know, make sure that the fundamentals line up. The second thing, Bob, is just show real engagement. I mean, if you're interested, don't be coy, don't be shy. Mm-hmm. You know, show some enthusiasm, make yourself available for interviews. If I email somebody and say, look, we need to do an interview here. I'm available at these times over the next 2 or 3 days. And what I get is I'm available 2 weeks from now. Everybody's busy. That's clearly not a priority. So make yourself available. You know, research the company. You'd be surprised how many times I'll get on an interview and I'll ask a question that was answered right on their homepage.
Yep.
And I kind of get a blank stare. So understand what you're, it's like buying a stock, right? I mean, hopefully you research the stock before you buy it.
Yep.
Ask some really relevant, insightful questions. Don't ask what you think they want to hear. You're a shopper, right? You're looking for an opportunity. And by the way, I remind my clients in the end, the buyer isn't you, the buyer is the candidate. So you need to operate as a shopper who's on that kind of a mission, and whatever your list of priorities are, right? Ask the questions that you really need to understand to validate your interest. Communication, be responsive.
Yes.
Keep your communications tight. I wrote a short article on LinkedIn a few weeks ago called 30 Seconds. And I got a lot of really good feedback on it.
Please unpack that one. That was brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, the number one mistake that most people make, not just in interviews, but probably in life, is they just say too much. You know, the average attention span for an adult might be, 10, 15, 20 seconds. So you really need to be concise in your answers. Don't stretch a 30-second answer into 3 minutes. And it's interesting. We all probably talk a little bit too much, and it can feel uncomfortable to give a short answer. But I rarely have had a client say, boy, I really like Bob, but his answers were really short and to the point. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So work on it. Most interviews now are happening on video.
Yeah.
Put a little yellow sticky up next to your camera and just 30 seconds. Keep it tight. That is a very common mistake. Be expressive, use your hands, show some energy, don't be over the top, right? There's some people who are a little bit too amped up, but just kind of be yourself, show some personality. We all like people who've got a little bit of energy.
Mm.
So don't be afraid to show it. Anyway, one other thing too, in follow-up on an interview.
Yes.
I would recommend within 4 to 6 hours after you interview, whether it's with the recruiter or with head of talent or the hiring manager, send a short email. And when I say short, this is what I'm talking about. Bob, thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you got what you needed. I remain very interested in this opportunity. I'm ready for whatever comes next. That's it. Don't recap the 10 reasons why you're the right fit. Don't keep selling yourself. Even if there was something that you kind of forgot to talk about in the interview, or you want to kind of take another swing at an answer you gave, that's fine, but don't do that in your follow-up. I mean, keep your follow-up really timely and really tight.
No, I have to ask why, because that's going to go against the very strong urge for somebody to like, oh, I want to re-explain myself. Why is that not your recommendation?
Yeah, because guess what, Bob? We want what we can't have, right? I mean, if I have to get surgery on my knee, do I want the orthopedic surgeon who's available tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, right? So there's a kind of a scarcity mentality here. You want to show interest, but not too much interest. So I think if you come on too strong, it can, in some cases, even sound a little bit desperate. And those people just aren't as interesting or attractive as somebody who is very clear about their interests. They're serious about this. But this is business, right? I'm letting you know where I am. I know you're busy. So I'm going to keep my communication tight.
Yeah. And then, you're making me think about 10 different things at once. But just to make sure we finish on something here, which is, okay, I'm in the process with the company. You vetted me. I've talked with the head of talent. Now I'm spoken with the hiring manager. What is your role in all of this as I continue to go deeper in the process? Do you start to fade to the background a little bit, or are you the shepherd of the whole process?
Yeah, great question. If you're working with, well, whether it's retained or contingency, but particularly with a retained recruiter, you should ask him or her right up front, you know, what should I expect in this conversation with the hiring manager? Mm-hmm. You're not asking for a playbook. You're not asking for any inside baseball, or you're not looking for answers to the test. Just right. Kind of what's the agenda here? Give me some insights. What are the hot buttons? And, you know, we prep candidates. I'll send out an email, or I'll hop on the phone and I'll say, hey, Bob, these are the things that you really need to emphasize. Mm-hmm. This is a private equity owned company, right? By definition, you know, you're going to have fewer resources. Make sure you emphasize how scrappy you can be. Roll up your sleeves. They need to really understand that. Usually there's a couple of key things that you really need to make clear in that interview. You can get some insight and some prep from your recruiter on that.
Yeah. So a couple questions. Back on the brevity of answer, but this really has to do with sort of shaping your brand in the mind of both the recruiter and ultimately the hiring manager. What is your preferred response structurally, or however you want to describe it, to tell me about yourself?
You're saying if
you're asking a candidate, so Julie, it's great to meet you. Like, I'd just right. like to hear a little bit about your background. Tell me about yourself, however that question is phrased, but sort of that very wide open question.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would never ask that question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a lazy question. And if I'm debriefing with a candidate after they interview, and I'll ask them, you know, tell me how it went. Well, you know, we kind of wandered a little bit because they started off saying, hey, talk about your background.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you spend 10 minutes walking them through, well, I grew up in West Virginia, and you know, I went to Ohio State, and then you walk through every job, and that doesn't tell anybody anything. Yep. So most of the people who I know are in your group and followers of yours and clients, they're also out there interviewing people. I would not ask that question.
Awesome. Okay. Super good to know.
Oh, by the way, Bob, just a quick follow-up.
Please.
Here's a suggestion too. You're going to get asked that question, right? It can be tricky, but my advice is reframe them with that question. So if you ask me, hey, David, tell me about yourself. My response should be, hey, Bob, I am happy to tell you anything you want to know. Are you interested in a particular, you know, company I work for, or are you looking for, you know, examples of things I've done that are really relevant to this role? Tell me exactly what you're looking for. Reframe it.
Yep.
And get them focused. Just because they didn't prepare doesn't mean you can't counter that.
That's really, really good advice. A variation of that is, you know, Julie, happy to. You know, one of the ways I found most effective to do this is just a little bit about me personally, how that's informed my career, and then how that's led me to, you know, where we are today. Would that be a helpful structure? Nobody's ever said no to that.
Right.
Right. That's and then it's like, oh, okay. So the other thing that I would love to hear you talk about for a minute is oftentimes at the end of an interview, or you know, after the interview, you know, I'll say, well, David, how do you think that it went? You know, I think it went pretty well. Okay. Why? Well, they seemed to like me and we kind of clicked on this, that, and the other thing. Did you ask them how they thought it went, you know, and what they particularly liked, and if they had any concerns? Well, no. What's your perspective on asking for direct feedback in an interview?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think it really depends on how you sense that interview went. In a lot of cases, it's so hard to find good people when a hiring manager feels like they're now talking with the one. Most are going to be pretty clear and emphatic about that. So they're just going to tell you, you know, Bob, this was really good. I think you'd be a great fit here. And if they start mapping out next steps, then you know it went well.
Yeah.
It went well. As far as asking for the order or, you know, trying to close them at the end, I think you can talk around that. You know, certainly things like, hey, Bob, I know we only had 30 minutes, but did you get what you needed? How do you feel about this fit? Was there something we didn't cover that might be helpful if I address? So no. It's a very constructive question, but you're kind of getting at, you know, what do you think?
Because back to your point, you know, we're both buyers and sellers in these interactions. And I really appreciate the point that you made, like, hey, you're also a net buyer here because like you're trying to figure out if this is a good fit. Nobody wants to take a role that they're either not going to be happy at, good at, or some bad combination of both of those. But at the same time, you are selling.
That's right.
As a salesperson, clarity is my friend. So, you know, Bob, what I really liked is you've got this experience, that experience, which, as you know, we think is really vital to this. Is there anything, David, that caused you concern or would cause you concern about me being a good fit for this? Well, you know, I wish you had a little bit more DTC experience or like whatever, you know.
Right.
And then I want to hear that as a salesperson because they're thinking it anyway. And if I don't have the opportunity to either reframe it, you know, that is true. At the same time, I think what we said is this is more important than that. You know, would you agree with that? Yeah, I think that's true. Or there's just been a miscommunication. I actually do have DTC. We just didn't talk about that.
Right.
Let me tell you. And it's like, oh, that's great to know. Now you are the perfect candidate. But I just, for me, to not know, and then candidates walk away. And the way I tell folks is once that door shuts or that Zoom window closes, you're not likely to get a lot of direct feedback. Because they're just like, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. And you don't know what you could have done better or where it went sideways.
Right. No, that's right. And to your point, if you're in that conversation at the end of the call, and if the hiring manager isolates a perceived gap in experience, and this is a senior level role, you know, another question or comment you could make would be, you know, do you have someone on the team who does that?
Yes.
Right? Because again, one of the common mistakes that a CEO will make, and we try to work this out when we're writing the job description, you know, you need to hire an orchestra leader. You don't need to hire the entire orchestra.
Right.
Right. And it is just, it's impractical to try to hire someone who has literally worked in every sub-functional area that makes up this marketing team. It's just not, it's not practical. So that would be a good response. You're right. I'm not deep in that area, but I imagine you've got somebody on your team, maybe a director level who handles that. That's the way that my current team is structured.
Yeah. I love it.
Which is a nice way of saying, dude, what you're asking for is just not reasonable.
Okay. So speaking of unreasonable, this is one of my particular bugaboos with recruiting. And I don't mean executive search, but just talent acquisition in general, is when I do these podcasts with senior executives, and I'll often end it with, you know, what are the talent attributes, Susan, that you most value, you know, when you're building a team or looking to promote someone? Pretty routinely, natural curiosity, and I think it's close cousin, an agile learner, resilience, collaborative, but a bunch of soft skills. Right. These are attributes or talent, personality attributes. Yet job descriptions are like, you know, not only have you been in CPG, but you've been in personal care, not only in personal care, but oral care, not only oral care, but it's got to be mouthwash. If you haven't been in mouthwash for 12 years, we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
And sort of like that, really, like, can you explain to folks why clients are so fixated on some very specific experiences versus some of the things that might be viewed as more soft skills?
Yeah, I think it's because most people are hiring to manage risk, downside risk. They're not hiring to create, upside opportunity. So if you're looking for a second baseman, right? Well, I'm only going to talk to people who have ever played second base. You know, my attitude is, yeah, if you played a little second base, that's great. But I also want people who play different sports.
Yes.
You know, going back to your point around agility, because there's going to be new learning in any new company, even if it's the same kind of business. Somebody who's done different things becomes more of an athlete. So I hear you. It drives me crazy, too. you know, no disrespect to the pharmaceutical industry or our pharma clients, but I'll get a call saying, hey, we need a new head of marketing. I'll ask some questions. Well, you know, what do you think you need? Well, somebody who's been in pharma for 25 years. So it's a tough one, Bob, because again, I understand why somebody would want to just kind of do the easy thing, which is somebody who has been there, done that across, you know, the entire checklist, but you're limiting yourself. You're not going to necessarily get fresh eyes or fresh ideas.
So that's actually a great point. I kind of want to close out maybe on this side of it, which is from your client's perspective. So one of the great things about the service that you provide is actually counseling your clients on how to recruit. That's your expertise. And to your point, you know, do you really need a second baseman that's only done that for their whole career, or do you need an athlete? And right. How you can actually become the consultant to the client, not just, you know, get me a bunch of resumes and do the vetting and, you know, basically be the due diligence department, but really shape how they think about making this next critical hire.
Yes.
How do clients best work with recruiters or get the most value out of, in your case, a retained search relationship?
Yeah. And I think it's just listening to different ways of kind of defining the role and defining who could, you know, fit that role. What I look for are just, analogs, right? So if we're doing a search for a financial service company or a healthcare company, the profile that is my go-to is somebody who is an OTC marketer, mm-hmm. right? Somebody who worked for Unilever or Pfizer, J&J, you name it, because they're getting all the traditional blue chip CPG brand fundamentals, but they also understand how to work in a regulated environment that's very complex with lots of different stakeholders. It's a great analog. So if a client hears that, you know, they should be open to that. Well, that's interesting to me, right? Mm-hmm. And again, some are, some aren't. Ultimately, if I think it's too narrow, or if I think the person they're looking for is absolutely not what they need, we're going to keep talking until we find a middle ground. And it's not that I pretend to know more about their business, but, you know, I've just seen this in the market now for 30 years, and yes. I know what works and what can work, and at least be open to some options, right? Mm-hmm.
So let's start to put a bow on this. If you were just sort of speaking to a room full of executives looking to, you know, advance their career, whether they're already in the C-suite or aspire to the C-suite, arbitrary number, what's sort of the top three things that you would want to share with that group?
In terms of, you know, pursuing that next opportunity?
Yep.
Well, one comment, we didn't talk a lot about resumes, and this is a whole separate topic.
There's a reason we didn't.
Yeah, it's, I think, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, somebody sent a memo around telling people, you don't even have to list the first 10-15 years of experience, right? And another thing that I see, I was talking with a woman yesterday who was fantastic. She was at a pharma company for 8 years, and it said marketing director. And that's the only title. And I said, there's no way you worked there 8 years as a marketing director. Well, I didn't. I started as an associate, then I was a brand manager, then I was a senior brand manager. I'm like, well, for God's sake, show the titles. I mean, the two things I look for, promotions and tenure, right? So whoever's telling you, you know, don't show all the titles, that's bad counsel. You want to show that progression. And I want to see a full record. So you might not think that the first 10 years are relevant, or let's be honest, some people are concerned about age discrimination and they don't want to show their age. I totally understand that. But look, if you're talking to a company where that matters to them, you know, how old you are, that's not a place you want to work.
Amen.
It really isn't. So We advise all of our candidates, show me the whole record, all the positions. Let's get a real clear picture, because there's a role for you out there. So it kind of starts with that. And then I go back to some of the things we talked about earlier. Make sure you're targeting the right recruiters who've got experience in your industry or in your function. You know, leverage your personal network to identify who those recruiters are. And then everything we talked about in terms of how you communicate, how you engage, if you follow that checklist, you're going to be just fine.
Well, I so appreciate your generator story. And, you know, I often will use the analogy of an ATM. Like, if you just got laid off or for whatever reason, it's like, I need to leave, but I haven't been making deposits in my network, of which recruiters are a significant component, then all of a sudden I need to make a withdrawal. It's like, you're going to get a, sorry, dude, you have no funds. Like you haven't been making deposits. So exactly right. you can't withdraw any money right now. And it's very, very analogous to jobs and your career. And the idea of staying in touch with former managers who know you,
right? Yes.
Respect you. You don't know what can happen when, yeah, you reached out to them to get the name of a couple of recruiters they might recommend to you. For all you know, they're thinking about, hey, I haven't even posted this yet, but we're thinking about opening up a new role.
I've seen that so many times. Bob, I have seen that so many times. And that, by the way, is the, in my opinion, that's the best way to go get a job. Because the biggest risk when you go to a new company is that relationship with the hiring manager. And it's chemistry. And chemistry is an experiment. So if it's a former boss, mentor, and you know and trust each other and they know what they're getting, that's the best way to go get a new job.
Well, so, and let's just use that as the perfect contrast to what you said a few minutes ago, which is hiring by its very nature is a risky business and people are trying to de-risk it. What's the number one bridge over the risk canyon? Trust.
Yes.
And who trusts you? People that already know you. They've experienced you. And that's the way to go. I'm just going to repeat what you just said. That's the best way to get a new job. And the best time to go get a new job is when you don't need it.
That's right.
Because now you're operating from a position of strength and you have choices and you're not desperate and you're not, I mean, it just leads to a whole bunch of negatives. So I think that's a great way to end is, like, be proactive, own your career. Recruiters are a very important part of that. They're not the only part, but they're a very important part. And I've learned a ton of stuff today, David. So I appreciate 30 years worth of scar tissue that you had to share with me today. So thank you. If people want to, get engaged with the firm, learn more about you, learn more about some of the roles that you guys may be working on, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. They could hop on our website just to get a sense of kind of who we are, what we do, what we've done. Wiserpartners.com. Mm-hmm. If they want to shoot me an email, it's just david@wiserpartners.com.
Awesome. Cool.
And I will do my best to respond, to every email. I do fall behind occasionally, but we try to be as responsive as we can be.
No. This has been phenomenal. Like I said, I've been wanting to do this for quite a while, so I'm glad I finally got my nerve up to ask. So thank you so much.
Hey. Anything for you. I really appreciate what you're doing. It's important work.
Awesome. Well, bless you and good luck with being a new grandpa. That's exciting.
Thank you very much.
Okay. See you soon.
Okay. Take care. I know.